You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What's going on?
So everybody, this is how the sausage gets made. You see how podcasting works. Now, Tom, if you could explain the snitching that you did yesterday, where you sent a screenshot of your conversation with a friend where they said I looked like a baby having a tantrum.
That was me.
Oh, that was you, Bob?
I thought that was
one of Tom's West Coast friends.
Yo, why are you going to act like I'm snitching?
No, that wasn't even to me personally. That was to the Axe to Grind Instagram. So since he did this, let's go ahead. My sister, who is a total civilian, went to see Thrice with her husband last night. Her husband must have heard him at Home Depot. And I asked what she thought of Drug Church. Laughing face. Haha, yeah, I'm into it. They were so quiet last night. Just walked out and played calmly about Thrice. Drug Church was so weird. I have to listen to them in a week and try again.
A week? What, you need distance from the thing? Was it traumatic?
Yes. Cleanse the palate.
But the lead singer was so strange. I felt like his mom needed to come pick him up and carry him to his room until he calmed down.
I want to show her the merch receipts. We did fine, woman.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
We don't need your approval.
Thanks, Mom. Pick me up at 8.
Yeah, shout out to that person. Glad that they saw something worth commenting on.
So when this hits, Thrice Tour will be about halfway through. I'm sure it's doing well. Congrats to you guys. Hopefully your van doesn't flip and we don't have a new third host of Axe to Grind.
And Pat will be halfway through a tour, but 4 months from being home,
Yeah.
Need to tell us about stuff.
So, and I just got word I got to go to Australia sometime in the spring, so we got to be ready for that too.
I might be in Europe all summer, but we'll figure it out.
Oh, no shit. That's exciting.
Yeah. We'll see.
What are you doing? Are you becoming like European?
Why not?
But I'm saying you do the whole thing where you're like, my children were educated in Rome for 1 year and then no. Okay.
Just on holiday. No, who knows? We'll see. Lots of things.
Okay.
Lots of things in the works.
What do we want to talk about? People are hitting me about this Higher Power record. People are hitting me about this Code Orange music video. People are hitting me about shirts, the shirt with the cum on it. Everything's happening here in hardcore land.
None of this will be super timely because this is now February. So let's see. Higher Power record, I've been told that it slaps.
Does slap.
That it is... And including Tom told us, I have not listened yet. Tom, give me your feedback on this comment from somebody else. They hit me and said, 100% not a quote unquote hardcore record, but he loves it. Like, feels like it's very heavy alt with some Deftones leanings. And, you know, he's like, there's hardcore influence, but it's not hardcore, hardcore.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
The Drug Church guys like it. Listened to it in the van today. I couldn't hear shit. Some of them jumped off on the acoustic song, but they really were speaking highly of it. Otherwise, I'm gonna have to listen to it on headphones because I can't. I don't even know how fucking people even listen to music anymore. I need my headphones.
Let me translate that for everyone. It's cool because other people in the van were listening to music, but I wanted to do Instagram stories and was bothered the whole time.
Yo, you got no idea how irritated my Instagram stories make everybody. I thought they were a fun thing to do. I didn't know that people hated my ugly fucking face so much. But I think there's a lot of haterism, a lot of jealousy out here in the mix. I'm just trying to keep the people entertained, engaged with the listenership.
I know it's hard because there's not enough forums. There's not enough places to hear you, so I'm with it. I do. The other day, I really did. My first glance, I see Tom. I saw Patrick on his Instagram story, and he was laying down. He had headphones in, but he looked very tired, perhaps ill, and he had like a pillow behind him, but it looked like scrubs. And I was like, oh shit, he looks like he's in a hospital. Is he all right? And then I looked and I was like, oh no, he's laying on some weird colored pillow. I straight up thought dude was in the hospital.
Jesus.
Why would he stop Instagram storying? If he was in the hospital, he would Instagram story. It would have happened.
Oh, absolutely. He would be like, my left foot in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am in the hospice known as a professional musician because I am fucking – I sleep in a van.
You're slowly dying.
Yeah. I'm slowly dying. It is
– why isn't that – that's a great – so there's two versions of that. The 98 moshcore band, Slowly Dying, and then the like 2007 swoop hair band, I'm Slowly Dying.
I'll give you one more. Mm-hmm. The kind of post everything. Now I'm doing a kind of like an Alex G sort of thing or Mac DeMarco sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And the name of the album is I Sleep in a Van, I'm Slowly Dying. that's like another it. Option.
That works.
I'm with it. We got it. Okay. So speaking of post everything, so real quick, Tom, you recommend the Higher Power record.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it reminds me of, it's not a really far flung from like a Turnstile record.
Right.
In that way, it's like there's a Turnstile is probably still like a little bit more, there's a little bit more like Bad Brainsy hardcore in Turnstile than there is in Higher Power. Mm-hmm. It reminds me sort of vocally a lot of Snapcase and a lot of Jane's Addiction.
Oh, that's cool.
A lot of Jane's Addiction.
I heard somebody, that same reference, which is cool. I'm with it.
Somebody in the back of the van said, I like porno for pyros too. So,
yeah. And I think musically it's kind of in that like quicksandy, Snapcase, Burn kind of lane.
Okay.
That's and cool. The acoustic song, I call it Jane Says.
Mm. So
that's what it reminds me. Without the steel drum.
Do you want to get heavy on acoustic songs and shit like that for a second? Do we have an agenda here? Or shall we have a light
agenda because it's going to be fun. But I want to touch these two points. Let's do Higher Power, then talk Code Orange, and then we'll get to the fun part of the podcast.
Okay. So I was in Los Angeles. Saw a friend of the podcast, Jeremy Baum. And he was playing some Touche stuff for me. And he said, what do you think of this one? It's different. It's weird. And I stopped him and I said, I'm sure it's good, but let me ask you a question. When was the last time that five albums into somebody's career, you said to yourself, I hope there's one weird song on this record. You know what I mean? And the answer is never. Fucking never. So I'm you guys would be shocked at, like, you know how I want to do whatever the fuck I want to do musically, and if somebody tells me not to, I'll go make a ska record to spite them. Mm-hmm. When it comes to other people's careers, I'm like, no, man, play the hits. Yeah. Do the thing people love because you're good at it.
Yeah, we got a good mailbag question for you next time we do one.
Okay.
Put you on the spot. Crosshairs.
Good luck. So the Higher Power thing. Now, granted, they haven't been a band for as long as Touche, but like, I don't know about weird songs anymore. I'm kind of like, yo, weird songs are fulfilling for the artist, but sometimes you can just record that one and play it on your fucking own time. You know what I mean? Like, maybe
it's not a weird song. Like, it's a song that, like, if you like got into a car and someone had like local rock station on,
yeah.
This is like the acoustic, like this is like the second single from it, from like a, you know, like a heavy alt record.
Yo, okay, so now let's segue into Code Orange because I'm just gonna say it flatly. I don't want soft songs from hard bands. I don't want it. These bands are so good at what they do. Fucking Higher Power is fucking good at what they do.
Okay.
Fucking Code Orange is fucking good at what they do, and what they do is crush, and I want.
What's the song called by Code Orange?
The new
song.
Yeah.
You think it's like, soft?
Oh yeah. listen, there is an incredibly heavy part, but then there's the chorus is too soft for me. That band is so fucking good when they're heavy. I want that.
But their biggest song is Bleeding in the Blur, which is a heavy rock song.
I get that, but satisfy the Patrick listener. You know what I mean?
So like but the guy that won't go see them.
Yeah, or pay for a record. But,
or mosh for them.
Or
mosh for them.
Right.
I mean, I'm very supportive.
Or buy a shirt.
I will buy a shirt. I like their merch. And I love, truthfully, I love the single art. Like the whatever that weird like see-through like skull man is. Yeah, I like that a ton.
You see that sweatsuit that I sent you guys?
Yeah. Let me see pretty, this sweatsuit. Pretty wild.
That's for someone under 25.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yo, here's my notes. This maybe is their best composed song. It's straight up not hardcore, and I don't want to pretend it is. And I'm not trying to be mean. It doesn't matter. Like, they should be like, who cares if Bob Shedd thinks this is fucking hardcore? It doesn't matter. It's like radio rock, radio metal, heavy alt, like
Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, right. And it's like somewhere between Nine Inch Nails and a slightly more like more metal, like metal rock radio kind of thing. That doesn't mean it's bad. And it doesn't mean you can't like it. And it doesn't mean people who liked Forever can't like it. And it certainly doesn't mean people who liked I Am King can't like it. But it's interesting to see how people are going to take it. There's a lot of – I didn't see it. I didn't see a lot of chatter on my timelines, but that's reflective of my timelines. I didn't see a lot of chatter on this. But I was being told by people who are like Code Orange heads that this was getting a ton of hate. Were you guys seeing any of that?
I heard a little bit of that, and then I heard a lot of people saying sort of what you just said, but like in a more – like kind of like affirmative sort of way, which was like you said it in kind of a neutral way, but like there's a lot of people that said, hey, this is really an exquisite version of what this is attempting to be. But like to me, that's like that might all be true, you know what I mean? But like I'm an actual Code Orange fan when they are fucking heavy. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they do what they do better than their peers. And I'm not mad. Like, Bleeding in the Blur didn't make me mad, but I've been honest with them where I'm like, yo, Reba needs to be doing more in my view, but this to me is not what I think she can do so much more than like an alt song.
Quick survey, real quick. Tom, do you like the song?
I do like the song.
Patrick, do you like the song?
I don't care for the song.
All right. I like the song just fine, perhaps more than any other Code Orange song I can think of.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, where does it lie? Like, since you're not like a
– No, no.
Pat and I are fans. Like, this is like the least offensive to you.
No, the video is fucking insane.
Yo, let's get into that, man. Yeah.
Can you talk about this with those dudes being your friends? Like Tom's in and enjoys it, and he can level. You can come off harsh, man. You going to be okay with this or what?
Do I come? Is everything I do come off harsh?
No, not everything. No, not everything. Because no, you just are tight with these dudes, and some people are sensitive artists. You know what I mean?
Listen, that's for sure. But they know I fucking big up them forever.
So they're going to take it. Okay.
And truth, I mean, they'll still shit on me, but truthfully,
they'll never hear it.
Yeah, that's possible. That's true. So, but no, truthfully, like, yo, you know how I'm always talking about bands I want to win? I'm always saying Candy. I want Candy to win. Like, that's just a fact. Want them to win. Code Orange is the band I want most to win. So, like, anything that they do, I'm supportive of. That doesn't mean I like everything. So, the video, here's what I'll say about it. I can't even judge it because it's literally insane and I can't put myself in the mind of an insane person. It is fucking nuts. The first time I saw it, by the time Joe rips his chains off the wall, I didn't know where I existed anymore.
Yeah. And laying on the floor doing spinning circles style, like, what's going on?
I tried to transpose myself through a wall because I just thought reality wasn't what it was 10 minutes ago. I was like, oh, I need to understand things again. It is so fucking crazy. And here's the deal. I didn't care for the song, but I do really like the music video because it's so far afield from any – I won't even be in my own music videos. And these dudes are fucking owning it in a way that I could never imagine for myself.
There's a certain element that this is so over the top. It's very, very over the top in a unabashed way that, like, yo, even the biggest haters got to go. Like, if you hate this band, like, don't sweat it. Watch the video. You won't like them more. But you got to hand it to them for being like, yeah, fuck it. We're going to lean in and go do this. Yeah. Like, yo, it is what it is. Like, bless
them. I pointed it out. Yeah. It might've been a friend of ours in a group chat. The like weird little Easter egg at the end.
Yes. Yes.
That
the Jamie is not drumming,
but he's not in the band walking towards the drummer, but he's walking from the drummer's right side.
Yes. Good Easter egg. So anybody who's watched that based on information not heard from the other hosts of this podcast, but the word is that perhaps Jamie's this going to be singing, not playing drums. So that's going to be interesting.
I fucking look forward to that so much. That'll be sick.
Do we anticipate stage outfits? Yes, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Look, I know we've talked about Ghost Mane and all this shit. I finally saw some Ghost Mane live footage and shit. This is just where I throw my arms up and say I'm irrelevant. I'm old. Somebody kicks some fucking dirt on me because I'm in a grave of my own irrelevancy. There's people in fucking Ghost Mane's backing whatever that are wearing like Twizzy fucking nurses outfits covered in blood and fishnets and shit. And like everything old is new again. I'm watching Marilyn Manson and I'm like,
with a little bit of rap.
Oh my God. Like Hey, everybody at home, make your fucking Hello Fellow Kids memes in reverse. Goodbye, fellow kids. I don't understand a fucking thing anymore.
You're going Grandpa Simpson walking out the door.
Fucking for sure.
Here's the deal. I got nothing for Ghost Mane. Nothing. However, I can say for a certain person that looks fun. For 16-year-old Bob, not fun. I remember Marilyn Manson. Wasn't my thing. I probably wouldn't have liked that if I was 16, 17, 18 now. I probably wouldn't like it because that's the fucking type of person I am. However, I see those shows and I see the energy and there's a lot of people having fun. So fuck it.
Some dude from Marilyn Manson way, 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 way back in the day wanted to have sex with Mark Shutdown.
Oh, no shit.
Bless
how'd, that,
I like
how'd that go?
He didn't. We played in this place, Cheers, in Miami.
Yeah.
With like Brethren. And it was literally Shy Hulud's first show with Chad. Chad was in eighth grade. And I guess they were there. A couple weeks later, one of the dudes was doing an interview and talking how attracted he was to Mark Shutdown, who at the time was probably 17.
Oh, well, you know what?
Get that. We were like 19 and 20, and he was 17.
Get that number. Fuck it.
So that is we'll file that under third tier lore that is very weird.
But I love it. I'm in. I think that might be second tier lore. That's great. Never heard it before.
I'm happy for Code Orange. This I think that this record will be very big. I just need some heavy out of them, and I'm gonna be psyched on music videos. I'm gonna be psyched on everything they do. But like musically, for me to like, and again, when I say they should be getting me off. Of course, not really. I have rarefied tastes. You know what I mean? Firstly, they should do whatever their conscience compels them, whatever they want to do as artists. Secondly, they should do whatever means that they can, you know, fucking get new sneakers. And number three, who gives a fuck about me? But I want the heavy.
I agree with everything you said, except I'm not sure that it'll be big just because I don't know where the place is for this in this world. But the dynamic of having a front man, lead singer, and then the dual vocals kind of thing changes the dynamic of the band so much in a live setting that it could easily propel them to a much bigger place than they are.
I also just like it because Jamie, who talks a lot of shit, is now going to have to be in,
put up.
He's going to have to be in the rare seat of a front person
in which, the limelight.
Listen, man, I'm highly competitive. Somebody's sister might have thought I looked like fucking a baby having a tantrum the other day. Mm. But I am the only person that I've told you there's tiers to this shit. And I'm lower top tier right now because Justice is still in the game and he's hard to fucking topple. But I am lower top tier and I'm working on my body to climb the ranks. When I get fully physically fit, I'm coming for all of you. All
right, who's the top of the top tier, Pat?
You know, my bandmates think that I could never topple Brendan from Turnstile.
I don't think anyone can. He would be my number one.
I don't think so either.
I think Brendan is a great, great front person, but my only complaint about him is that he doesn't appeal to my sensibility of being like chatty or casual. You know what I mean? Which isn't everybody's vibe. And he does an excellent job of keeping things moving. You know what I mean? But for my taste, I like I always say on this podcast, Sick of It All literally changed the direction of my life by joking with the crowd. You know what I mean? Like truly, like I saw things differently after that day. And so that's more what appeals to me, but Brendan is hard to dethrone.
I think you don't have the body rhythm that dude has. He's kind of, he almost is like a mystical creature version of Justice. Justice has a more physical presence. Yeah.
To me, I feel like he's just like into the, like he doesn't have like, here's my move for this song.
No.
He's just
and listen, Justice is still top of the heap in my view, but with Angel Dust, it's a different, less physical vibe, which doesn't mean it's not fucking still good, but it just means that I can gain some ground on him. So I'm climbing. Yo, let's keep talking about this for a second because a friend of the podcast, although lapsed listener, needed an update on the last two episodes, Brian Murray.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what I said. We watched a lot of footage from FYA because a lot of it's on YouTube now.
Yep.
And we were vicious, cruel to the front people. And
although one guy in that, one person stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Singer from fucking Never Ending Game.
Yo, okay. He's good. But do you know who I thought might have? Well, firstly, Gulch is probably the like, so yes. Here's the deal. That is so specifically not my energy. Like that is not what I'm about.
What, and shirtless with jeans?
No, yeah, shirtless with jeans. That actually is my vibe. But no, kind of that, like, to me, he strikes me like that. His performance is kind of like, this is going to sound derisive. I mean, I've met this kid. I like this kid and I like Gulch. This is not a dismissal. It strikes me as youth attacky. You know what I mean? And like, it has a loft sort of thing going on that is never really my vibe. And
I bet you they're so far from that. You would have no idea.
No, I don't think they're like walking in those footsteps. I just think that that's what, like, if I watch them, I'd be like, oh, this reminds me of some of the loft stuff around New York. Just
except the biggest difference, though, is that I think they bring such a different energy in terms of like those dudes aren't loft punk guys. They're the dudes who are making jokes and laughing about tsunami. You know what I mean? Just that difference in energy makes such a big difference. What if Straight Edge never took off? Would hardcore have attached itself to something else?
Yeah, probably. Because look, it's tried a lot of weird shit. Krishna, Hardline,
veganism,
vegetarianism.
You go to the more punk side, anarcho, more political, different things.
Yep.
Some, I mean, now more like very progressive thought, some leftist thought. We see some more regressive thoughts and some of the things right now too. So
could somebody hit us that's into the current modern anarcho scene and tell us what the politics are right now?
Good question.
I'd be curious. Chumbawamba.
I think that's the current politic.
That's what it is.
What, like vague nods at anarchism, but also like, yo, let's get this bread, homie.
Yeah, let's do this. Thump some tubs.
Who sings Double Vision?
Double Vision. Just Google Double Vision.
Did you just
vision.
Sing Desperado?
No.
Double Vision.
No. It's Double Visions. It's not Desperado, but it's not far off from that.
Oh, Foreigner.
Foreigner, yeah. Play.
I just asked because when we're talking about Bob Seger, there's Night Moves, the strip club outside of Albany, and then there's also Double Vision.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, wow, those are both classic rock songs that...
It's like, that's so on brand for Upstate.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. What if Ceremony threw it back to a Power Violence record?
Oh, that'd be weird. Wouldn't be completely... Look, I'm not saying those dudes are trolls, but I'm saying they're having fun with what they do. It wouldn't shock me if they did that because it wouldn't. I think they're probably aware that it would not feel cloying or desperate. It would feel like, oh, they're doing what they want to do.
Yeah, and it might. I'd be curious to see what they would do if they tried to do a revisit to some faster material.
Yeah.
Because I think they're more versed, heavier students of everything now as older folks. I think they would do something sort of different than what they did. My favorite Bob Seger song is still The Same.
Good song.
Ooh, what a track. Emotional. What if Henry didn't join Black Flag?
I think not as much a legacy, for sure.
Who knows how far they go?
Rollins was a personality. People don't gotta like it.
No.
Have we ever encountered anybody, with the exception of perhaps Morrissey, that people run hot and cold on depending on the fucking 5-year period?
They're hot and they're cold. They're yes and they're no. They're in, they're out. They're up, they're down. They're wrong when it's right. Black when it's white. Right.
I'm not wrong, right?
No. Rollins. He's the dude. Like, there's other dudes, like, you can compare names and stuff, but fucking, what's his face? What are you watching, a panda wrestling video?
They have this giant panda called Andre the
Holy
Giant.
Holy fuck,
panda.
That panda's
Look how
giant.
Big that fucking thing is, right? Look, watch.
Is it an inflatable?
Yeah, it must be. Yeah. There's a human being in there.
Okay, and this woman's going to jump into it?
No.
Are they wrestling? No? He's doing, oh my God. This giant inflatable panda just headbutt what looks like a 4-foot tall woman. Rollins.
That's the kind of wrestling I'm into. That's cool.
It's called DDT.
That's cool.
I'm with that.
But they have like other giant things that they've.
That should. I will go. Can we find out when there's a show like that in New York?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Would attend.
Yes. Rollins is right there with Morrissey. Huge polarizing guy. Could you imagine any of the other Black Flag singers singing on stuff like My War?
No.
Doesn't play.
Do you remember when Rollins said something less than delicate about suicide and people were big mad for a week? Y'all get so mad out there.
Have you ever watched any of the Rollins spoken word stuff from like the 90s?
It tires me out, I'll be honest with you.
It is tiring. He's kind of exhausted. But some of it, I mean, a lot of it is not for this time.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
All right. What if JJ and Harley never beefed? Never.
We talked about this. Didn't we kind of address this that we probably would have gotten a metal-leaning record that...
Yeah, Best Wishes wouldn't have been as good with JJ on it.
I think Best Wishes wouldn't have been as good with JJ on it. I don't think it would have positively impacted their music at all. I don't think it would have impacted the quality of the Cro-Mags music at all.
No, but I mean, Best Wishes would not... As
you think it's better with Harley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. He's a better singer. Mm. In the scheme of things. True. In the grand scheme
And
of
even
things.
When they... What's the record they double up the vocals? It's the next one, right? Near Death, right? No.
Near Death Experience, Alpha Omega.
I think one of those, they doubled... Harley doubled up.
I'm not going to front. I don't listen to them enough to even be able to tell you which...
But it's not great. And if they tried to do it on Best Wishes, it probably would have taken away from... If they didn't beef, honestly, probably the Cro-Mags tour more with consistency. And perhaps this would be a good thing for you.
Me.
They take it's the no. The weird legacy resonance of the band is somewhat diminished because they continued steady touring for
fucking
a while.
For sure, yeah.
So you get a little less of that, man, the fucking Cro-Mags. But now also we'd be less annoyed by the weird like ongoing on be like online beef of two 55-year-old men who are old enough to be everyone's dad.
Yes.
So yeah, like it's cool. And last one, what if Poison Idea had written Portland Crew instead of Judge writing New York Crew?
Okay.
You probably have better stories.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting question.
Right?
They might.
I feel like Jerry A and Pig Champion probably had some shit
and
in
Portland,
the early 80s.
Portland is a fucked up place. The Drinking Is Great comp with Final Warning and some other wild bands. Portland seems like a pretty fucked up place in the 80s.
Yeah, it does, actually.
So imagine like being those dudes.
Yeah.
Mm. Probably got some good stories like in remembrance of old PDX.
Of old Portland. Yeah. How do you think the dudes from Poison Idea feel about like the nouveau Portland, like Portlandia?
I mean, oh. It's the same thing as like what probably Roger thinks about the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
So wait, who's alive in the band?
Pig Champion's dead.
Pig right. Champion, the main songwriter, is dead. Jerry A. The no, I don't know about the other guys. They're kind of like the other
two
players,
main, but the two main two, guys. One are, of the two main guys is dead.
Okay, yeah. So Pig Champion's dead.
Singer's alive.
Singer's alive. Do we think Singer is still in Portland, or everybody relocates to Arizona?
Oh, that's a good question. Or Austin.
Or Austin. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a time when back in the day when I would go to Seattle, you'd just see like Mark Arm walking around. You know what I mean? And
yep.
That was like a thing. I wonder about dudes that are like tied to a place and stay there. I don't know if I would.
Yeah. Do you think? Are you the Jerry A of Albany?
Yes.
I bet there's a lot of dudes who would actually, especially in Albany, really prefer to have that position.
Oh, I can tell you there certainly are.
Jerry A, Portland, shockingly, no Google results.
Oh.
Yeah, not great. All right, let's see this. People still responding to the poll. What if HR didn't slowly lose his mind?
Okay.
Again, I don't think it would have impacted the music of the Bad Brains.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Live, definitely.
Well, live for sure. You know what, though? I think maybe some of the lyrical choices by Eye Against Eye would have been less wild.
I don't think he was that sick back then.
Well, let's say he was just slowly. Let's say that he was probably pretty just weird.
Yeah, right.
I think the decline
like
goes
God of
later.
Love.
Yeah, and I don't fuck with
right.
that. I don't think he sings on God of Love.
Oh, he does.
He does.
Rise is the one with.
Oh, yes. Rise. That's yes. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. And,
so wait.
God of Love is the one after
that's
that.
Right.
In like 94.
Right.
On
the Beastie Boys label.
On Madonna's label.
Yeah, oh, Madonna's Maverick. Label. Maverick. You're yeah. correct. You're correct.
Not a terrible record.
You know what? I thought about it the other day.
Is pretty great.
I thought about the fact that I haven't really heard it in, forever.
Like, it's not great, but it's not bad for...
The last Bad Brains record, there was people who were like, it's not bad.
Yeah, there was.
It came out a few years ago.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't given it a shot.
But it's hard because... They went from being the best live act ever to an embarrassment.
Yeah, here's the deal.
And it felt like it was over a couple years.
Sick too, so it's fucked
up. Right. Knowing
it's not even like, oh, he didn't take care of himself and now he's fucking out of shape. It's like, oh, dude, like.
Knowing what I know about him now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he can, like, walk into a supermarket and shoot people, but I'm saying, like, he can do almost anything. And I'm just like, yo, that dude's been through a lot, man.
But has he?
Yo, the thing that the actual ailment that he
had. Oh, that's a whole other story.
Yeah. That's what. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the fuck he's doing in
his
life, free time, but I'm saying. That ailment is so insane and so unfair that it is. There's almost nothing that he could do that I wouldn't be like. He needs to blow off steam, man.
So here's
I have a fucked up story about him. If I could tell it,
please do.
You want to say whatever you're gonna.
No, what I was gonna say was just because it's less funny. Is that just perhaps we saw the writing on the wall with it, but there was no way to know that.
Right.
Is that he, like, do you remember the Soul Brains did a tour? It's like 99 or 2000.
Yeah, with Chromex.
No, before then. The first tour back. Because the tour with the Cro-Mags, he was acting super erratic.
Yes.
And there were some shows where he was pretty good. Like, people were like, oh, the Baltimore show was good. And then it was like, Philly was so bad, I just walked out.
Mm.
And I saw him in Worcester on that tour, and I was like, eh. I saw him at Birch Hill, the tour before that, when they first came back as Soul Brains, and they were fucking great. But then, like, the New York show was... people who went to both shows were like, yeah, I don't know, New Jersey was better?
So it's hard. Like, what can you say with a dude who's kind of was seen as a space cadet, as right. a dude who's just weird and erratic behavior, you know? So, story.
So I don't even know the name of these people. So me and my buddy are on Bedford Avenue, you know, years and years ago. And he had, remember when Death Wish made those, like, Henry and Glenn and HR, yes, like, yes. lead singer shirts? So my buddy has it on, and, like, we're outside the Turkey's Nest on Bedford Avenue. So, like, this punk couple's like, oh, shit, good shirt. We're talking, whatever, whatever. And they're like, yeah, you know, I met HR, man.
When I say that free is better than half heart, people just dismiss it like as Patrick being contrary. Yeah. But I'd like listeners that don't have an emotional connection to half heart, a sentimental connection to half heart, to go listen to both bands and tell me with it. So the non half heart fans, if you could listen to both of those and just speak from your non-biased place. And I'm really curious.
To listen to Half Heart and Trapped Under Ice?
No, Half Heart and Free.
Free. Yeah. Okay, perfect, yeah.
And because I don't think that I could ever get a straight answer out of a Half Heart fan, you know? Like,
well, that conversation is basically about imprinting.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So I'm looking for people like me, or maybe young people that don't have really – Half Heart doesn't mean anything to them because they're so young. Mm-hmm. But
Tom, this is a weird question, but you actually are positioned in a very similar situation to this.
Yep.
Do you think that Most Precious Blood, Nothing in Vain might get overlooked by people who kind of imprinted on Indecision unorthodox?
100%. Yeah, okay. I think –
because I was going to say,
with, like you were saying, like with no real attachment. You know what I mean? Like if you listen to like unorthodox and you listen to like Nothing in Vain, you'd be like, oh, this is a better band.
Right. And it's all the same components. And like, clearly you're attached to both, but, you know, in a pretty similar way. So it's like, oh, what's why isn't this one get the same credit? That is a fascinating question. So let's do that. Patreon people who are either nonplussed by Half Heart or just don't have that weird emotional resonance. And like, yo, be honest with yourself. If you've got that emotional resonance, it's real. You know,
Yeah, I just so we're clear, I'm not trying to take it away from you or make it so you've got to like Free as much as I do. I just don't think that there's going to be an honest answer from a half heartian. You know what I mean?
Like, well, the one part I will tell you is I think that Free might be a slightly, and I say this very carefully, slightly stripped down version of Half Heart in the way that some of the dramatic flair that you find on the Half Heart LPs,
yes,
isn't there with Free.
Agreed. And here's a
that might appeal. And what I would recommend to you is going back to the early Half Heart stuff. But the problem there is that their aptitude and skill level just isn't there.
Okay, so here's what I would say about that. You're yes, exactly right. The early Half Heart stuff leans too closely to like post Youth Crew material that I don't like.
Yeah.
So stylistically, it's a challenge for me. Free, I agree with you, is the stripped down version, non-dramatic version, and for my money, is actually borderline hard. That really appeals to me. It's not hard, but it's closer. It's borderline, and I like it a lot.
Yeah. Okay. I do think that at some point. So we've talked about it a few times. We're gonna do this at some point. And I think you both are into this idea. Where we listen to two records by the same band and compare them and kind of go deep on
it. Yeah, love it.
I think Half Heart's a really good candidate for that, for the two LPs.
100%.
So that one's we should put on the list. And then if we want to do like a little bonus on that, it'll be an extension of this conversation. We'll compare Half Heart, those two LPs, to the Free material.
Cool.
I think that'd be kind of cool. Absolutely. So how do we get there? We got there based on...
We're talking about trash talk of all things.
Oh, trash talk. Yeah, I think non-core, the live experience is super fucking important. And like, I don't know who I was talking about it to recently, but we had a really deep conversation about like, hey, if they're not good live, like that kind of takes away from it. And in the reverse, where the record sucks, but they're really good live, you almost give them a pass. And you go, well, the record sucks, but I'm going to check out their next record if I like them enough live. And you're probably willing to do that at least for two records.
Okay, let's do a fun thing. Agree with what you're saying right now, yes. Let's do a fun – and there is a band that Drug Church is going out with that has been around a long time and I have no real love for. But I'm guessing that if I watch them for any of this tour, I'm going to walk away with a different appreciation because they are like they're a big sounding band, and I guarantee I'll be sucking.
Bundy versus Kelly Kapowski, I gave more thought afterwards. Kelly Kapowski had a little too much of Kelly Bundy had a grimy vibe that I vibed on.
Sure.
That if I was comparing characters, I'd go Bundy. But Tiffany Amber Thiessen or Christina Applegate, it's T-A-T all the way. Wow. All the way. Let's see. I think there's a couple here that I'm going to get to that we didn't get to. Madball or Agnostic Front, Patrick?
Ooh.
Tough.
Yeah, that is kind of tough. I probably like more Madball material.
Quicksand or Rival Schools, Patrick?
That's very tough because my new appreciation. Oh, shout out to Chris Trainer who relayed his appreciation for my appreciation the other day.
Good.
Okay.
Like Maui said, you're welcome.
So the guy from Chris Bush Trainor acknowledged that you liked Rival Schools?
Yes. So shout out to him.
How?
He apparently he saw my story and he DM'd me.
I thought it had something to do with the podcast, but I know you don't promote it, so why would you?
Here's the deal. I'm going to say, did Quicksand have any misses? No. Did Rival Schools have some misses?
Yeah, I don't know.
That middle record, I think.
Petals?
Petals took some chances that I'm not sure every one of them paid off.
It's interesting. Petals grows on you, and there's a couple tracks on there. The best song from that session is a B-side that's only like a digital EP B-side called Arranged Marriages that is out fucking rageously good. And like the fact that it didn't make it over a few of the songs on there, especially because there's a few songs on Petals that are redos of tracks that were on the unreleased record. So
I'm saying that there's some songs on Petals that GTG.
All right, we'll you know what? That's an album. The album one. We'll do that one.
And Slip is the best of all of them, right?
United by Fate is a real strong contender.
By Fate has really crept up for me in a serious way. I think it's great.
But Slip, you know what I would like to do is I'd like to get some lyrical content background on Slip because I know it's there. Walter is a nut. I know a lot of the lyrical background on United by Fate, and it enhances the experience in a weird way because typically I'm a I don't give a fuck what's it mean to me guy, but some of that shit, because of how inverted he makes it lyrically, is really impressive.
Well, like Dying Alone is probably about like, oh, that's about Ray Campbell, like something ridiculous. He'd be like, holy shit.
Yeah, it could be like a singular experience where it's like, yeah, like, you know, it could be a very deep thing or something totally off the wall. I mean,
right, no,
the song Requiem, which is a Walter song that he did with World's Fastest Car. He would play it with Rival Schools sometime, but I don't think it was ever officially released until he did it solo stuff. Is this beautiful, fucking deep, rich song, and it's about John Travolta. And it's like, wait, what? And it's about John Travolta's career. And if you hear it, it sounds like this really kind of like personal story. And it's like, I wrote about John Travolta and his career. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, fuck. I guess if you're that good, you can really write about anything.
Yeah, bless up.
Wow.
martial arts versus kaiju.
Oh, you know, so like, what would we say is the best martial arts movie of all time? Arguably, The Raid. Or The Raid 2.
Not versed enough to speak on it. So,
what I just said, Bob, might be controversial in some circles, and some people might say that that's a superior action movie, not a superior martial arts movie. But I think it's probably a superior martial arts movie in my estimation. At any rate, that's the top for me, and it's almost like a John Wick scenario where do you go from there? Does the genre even have a future?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And whereas kaiju stuff, they have found ways to make it interesting, like that Shin Godzilla. Did anybody see that?
Yes, I did, actually.
By taking things in a weird self-referential or deconstructionist direction, they're doing interesting things, whereas I don't know if we're going to be able to get that out of martial arts films going forward.
Okay.
So I'm going to say kaiju right now.
Tom, anything on that or not?
I have no fucking idea what kaiju is.
Right.
Is that like a Pacific Rim? I have no idea.
Yeah, that would count.
Yeah.
Just big monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably go. Well, like, is that like Godzilla too?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wow. I'd go kaiju. But
he's the king of monsters.
Martial arts might get, I got to do some more exploring that world.
I'd go kaiju, sure.
Yeah. RoboCop versus Terminator. Tom, start us off.
RoboCop versus Terminator. I would go Terminator.
Terminator by a mile.
It's not a mile for me.
Because you have some love for RoboCop. Huh?
Yeah, well, Terminator is a way better action movie, way better. But RoboCop is a satire, and it's a really perfect satire. Mm. So they both have their strengths. I'm going to say I'll say Terminator 2, only by one length.
Is Terminator 2 a perfect movie?
Yes.
Okay. I think every person in our general age range feels that. So
yes.
Alien versus Predator.
Aliens is a superior movie.
Yes.
To any Predator movie, but the original Predator
is
fantastic, and Predator 2 is deeply underrated.
Yeah. No, everybody can get on this probably. Thanos versus Darkseid.
I think Tom's going to struggle with Darkseid.
I don't know who Darkseid is.
Darkseid is the Jack Kirby creation from the early 70s Superman, who is essentially who Thanos is based off of.
I got nothing.
Yeah, he basically runs a planet that is essentially hell, and he's trying to create the anti-life equation. You know what? Thanos is way more my speed, but I love the notion of the anti-life equation. So I'm going to go split decision. Push.
Yeah, that's a real tough one. You know what works against Thanos is that both these characters actually have been done dirty over the past 20 years. It's Thanos for me. Obituary versus Death.
I would go Obituary by a long way.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
And weirdly, I felt the need to say respectfully.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I felt the need to say respectfully. Jock
Schuldner's dead.
Yeah.
Leeway versus Killing Time, Patrick. Me and Tom have done this on air and off air, and just in general, we discussed this. Leeway versus Killing Time.
Okay, no. Let's not get into any details that we might know about people's lives or don't know about people's lives.
Sure, yes.
I was discussing Leeway with somebody the other day that was so passionate about their distaste for Eddie that it seemed almost blinding. And it's nobody that knows him. And sure. I thought that was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard.
He just hates his face.
Yeah, right. Just hates his face.
Like, I fucking hate your face.
And I was like, wow, it's really you know what? I think I'm going to say Killing Time.
Okay.
But you could put on either one of those, and I would consider them you know, essential New York hardcore that's good, but probably not my, neither one would be my immediate reach, I don't think.
Yeah. Ghoulies versus Gremlins versus Critters.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
The number you have reached is 100.7 WMMS.
It wasn't just a radio station, it was a lifestyle.
Cleveland is a rock and roll city for sure.
Get down! The Wrath of the Buzzard. WMMS. Cleveland.
The rise and fall of one of the most iconic radio stations in America. Profiles. The Wrath of the Buzzard. PROH Files. Subscribe now wherever you get podcasts.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
Okay, so Gremlins is the best movie objectively. Critters is the most fun. Ghoulies is trash, but maybe you want to watch it on a Saturday because, I don't know, you're also looking at your phone.
Tom, anything on that?
I mean, I would go Gremlins by,
Yeah, same.
Gremlins. Yeah.
Two comic ones, Ditko or Kirby?
Ditko, surprisingly.
Wow, that is interesting. I don't know. You know what? Kirby, I still need to dig into his classic DC material. And I'm somewhat intrigued by New Gods, like the OG runs.
New Gods is a little too gibberish to for...
Yes, it's kind of the read I get.
So you've got way more history and you're a longtime comic reader. You could definitely hang, but yeah. but what I'm saying is, like, our listeners, unless they're like in it, are not going to get a ton out of that run. Yeah. However, Bob, for you, if you haven't checked out his Commandy work,
the stuff I truly enjoy. I think it's good.
His double page spreads, which I think are in every single issue as the second and third page, probably
his trademark by that point,
are so fucking good.
I know.
Like, better than the Captain America work. Better. It's just great.
Ditko doesn't get enough credit, and it's really nice to see people ask that question. I think I think he gets a good amount of love, but he doesn't get love in the way that he should in Gen Pop.
Well, he's also like. Kirby is a love the stylization or don't, whereas Ditko is pure fundamentals.
Yes. Frank Miller or Alan Moore?
Oh, as a writer, there's no debate. It's Alan Moore.
Yeah.
As an overall creator, I mean, Frank Miller is kind of incomparable. Let me say something real quick before we lose Tom on this.
Yes.
I like Frank Miller.
Yeah, okay. That's the thing. I think Frank Miller's style is like...
Sin City was dope.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. So have we discussed my theory that Frank Miller is such a singular talent that we've allowed him to have a character arc?
Oh, interesting. That's too meta.
So Frank Miller, for people that don't know, was a pariah maybe 7 years ago.
Yep.
And this is me talking out of turn. It's nobody's business, but he had a problem that he was managing at that time. And along with having problems is having weird thoughts in your head. Yeah. And he had some reactionary like by today's standards, highly unpopular, though perhaps in the wake of 9/11, maybe popular views. He has not renounced those per se, but he has distanced himself as much as you could from a life that you don't want to be reminded of.
Yes.
And Tom, this is a part that you might find interesting. There is a graphic novel called Holy Terror. It was originally going to be Batman Holy Terror. It couldn't be published even in the jingoistic heart of post 9/11 sort of America. It couldn't be published as a Batman book. So Miller basically took the horns off the character and published it or took the ears off the character and published it anyway. And it is.
So Batman was a terrorist, or
he was fighting
the terrorists. Yeah.
Yes, but in a way that is highly stylized and beautiful and clever and aesthetically superior. And
also racist.
Arguably very racist. I don't think you have to see it through those lenses.
No, correct.
It's hard not to discuss it.
What else did he do after Sin City?
Movie 300.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else. He's done so much stuff.
What was that movie about the orphanage?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, shit.
He directed a movie when he shouldn't have. He directed The Spirit. And he should not have.
Poor entry point to it. Yep.
Yep. So, you know, he was riding really, really high. No pun intended. after Sin City, and did the Stephen King. Stephen King directed Maximum Overdrive at a time in his life when he shouldn't have done that. And because he had those opportunities as a writer, like he was the hottest writer and he had the clout to like, okay.
Kind of write his way anywhere he wanted.
Right. And they gave him the director responsibilities on that. And he just wasn't, you know, and he wasn't in the mind frame. Is that a good way to put that?
Yes.
To do that. And neither was Frank. So, but what I'm saying is, in the same way that Mike Tyson is a convicted rapist and we have allowed Mike Tyson to have a character arc in part for a thing that people don't want to talk about, which is in part because he is arguably in the best three that ever did it. If generationally, he is the best. Like if you're talking to somebody under 40,
yep.
It's either him or who the fuck?
Chavez?
No, fought Pacquiao. Fight.
Mayweather.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather.
It's either Tyson.
Floyd is the only. I mean, Tyson was the last dinosaur. He was the last of the great heavyweights. You know?
Correct.
And that was a different thing than Mayweather. And Mayweather is a fantastic boxer, but it's just different.
So let's say that if you're under fucking 50, Tyson is the best heavyweight you saw in your life.
Without question. Yeah.
So,
getting to see 50-plus-year-old George Foreman doesn't really count.
Right. Still cool, actually, though.
Super cool. He had some great fights, but
a better grill.
Yeah. Oh,
So
good pun, Tom.
But anyway, my point is that because Mike Tyson is a singular talent that we all admire, fair or unfair, we've allowed him his redemption.
Yes.
And Frank Miller, to me, is the arts equivalent of that. And I find that really interesting.
All right, let's bring it back in here. Dillinger Escape Plan or Botch?
I'm going to say Botch.
Tom?
I think we did this, but I think I went Dillinger.
What was your argument for Dillinger on that? Was it just they had Calculating Infinity was just a higher high?
Yeah, I think so. To me, I never really got that. I missed Botch.
Okay. Yeah, I largely did too. But after Calculating, Dillinger does basically nothing for me.
What is the one Botch record? It's got a very memorable cover.
We Are the Romans.
No, maybe it was before that.
American Nervoso.
I might be thinking of fucking Grade, to be honest. But
yeah,
that shows my interest on that. Nike Air Maxes or Vans?
Fuck. Can I just wear thumbtacks?
Tom is saying Vans.
No, I'm saying Air Max.
Oh, you're saying Air Max? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
I'm going to say Vans, but I'd rather just be homeless and wrap my take plastic bags from a Grand Union and wrap them around my feet.
Good Grand Union reference. Vane or Jesus piece?
I'm going to go Vane, but my appreciation for Jesus piece has gone up since the last record, probably.
I'm going Vane.
Yes, though neither scratches an itch for me, and I do think that Jesus piece last record for people into heavy hardcore, it somehow might have been slept on.
But interestingly, I think is now starting to do the rounds again, which I think is a really interesting thing for a sleeper record like that.
We did this, Tom, but Patrick, pizza rolls or bagel bites?
I'm going to say bagel bites.
Okay. Hope Conspiracy or Suicide File?
Oof. At the time, I would have said Suicide File by 20 lengths, but I did that HopeCon discography listen, and they're fucking good, man.
Yeah. Tom?
Oh, man. It's very close, but I would probably go Suicide File.
It's Suicide File for me, but I am... Hope Conspiracy's, like, prolific career. Like, they have triple the output of Suicide File.
They're compilers, as they say in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Like it might be... Good reference. It's probably... Yeah, great reference. It's a fun conversation to have.
Right. Suicide File was Don Mattingly. Oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Can we do a thing? Okay. You guys are better at finding tasteful, respectful ways to do a thing than I am.
Yeah, that's true.
Would it – so we were just talking about fucking Burn. We were talking about Agnostic Front. These are older bands than Suicide File, but they're canon bands.
Yeah.
Suicide File, would it be a fair thing, respectfully to them, to listen to their discography and say, does this hold up? Like, is that a conversation that's weirdly unfair because there's stuff – like, it would almost be like saying, yes, of course Richard Pryor stands up, but what about
Wesley Snipes.
What about this – well, they're doing 200 different things. I'm talking about stand-up.
I know.
Wesley Snipes ain't that good. I've seen him.
What I'm saying is, like, is there something disrespectful about that, or is that – question that can be asked.
No, I think it's a great question.
17 years old.
Yeah, it's a fantastic question to ask. It's so good because they're not a band that gets talked about all the time, but there is a bit of a cult of Suicide File.
Yeah, but would you
but
say
it's like low key? And I mean, I think putting a shine on their discography and actually like deep dive listening to it, because it's like, okay, we did that 5 for 5. Suicide File did not make our 5 records. From that time frame, they may have been in our honorable mentions, but I think they might have been like an honorable mention to the honorable mention.
Okay, wow.
But at the time,
yep.
In the moment, there definitely were people who would have been ardent to say, yo, Suicide File matters.
I knew people that was their half heart in terms of what they looked forward to coming to Albany, for example. Right. You know what I mean? So
I think it's a good discography listen. I think because we do the deep dive. So let's put maybe we do Suicide File for our next deep dive. It's not that long of a listen.
No.
We did an episode of the Hardcore Census where it got a little competitive and it was fun. That was fun, right?
I won.
You won. You did win. And people liked it mostly because it gave a little insight into the real life version of Pat Kinlan, the one who's a little bit competitive, and you can hear it in his voice, and not just radio personality Pat Kinlan. So. So we're going to play a game. It's not going to be very long. Pat, how competitive would you say you are on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd say I'm a solid 8.
Yeah, that sounds about right. This isn't, I think I mentioned this. I was trying to come up with a cool game that we could play that isn't on some like obscure trivia shit. It isn't on some like, oh, do you know the 4th 7-inch by this band? Because I was like, that's not fun. And that's not what the energy is. The energy is let's have a competition. I'll be keeping score. I'm hosting. The game is Name Game. The way it works is I'm going to give you a clue, and I have several clues for most of these, but it is two band names that fit together by a word. The last word or last part of the name of the first band is the first part of the second band's name.
Got it.
Got it, Pat?
Like Killing Time flies.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Okay. Exactly. All right. Sure.
All right. So let me give you guys a test one, and we're going to go back and forth. I'll keep score. If the person misses it, the other person can steal, but we'll go back and forth, okay?
So now, Bob, you're going to give us like two clues, right?
I'll give you two clues. I'll give you one, and if you need a second, I'll give you a second. Here's the sample. Tom, why don't you take this?
Yes, sir.
This is the sample. Doesn't count. Dan Yeamans, post-Kid Dynamite, dark, quote-unquote, project, meets the makers of Eye for an Eye.
So it would be Painted Blacklisted.
Ding, ding, ding. You got it.
Fuck. I'm going to be terrible at this. This is hard.
All right. who wants to start?
I guess I'll fucking embarrass myself. Go ahead. Going.
Okay. Straightforward Minneapolis hardcore band featuring members who would go on to Martyr AD and this Boston area moshcore band who was on Eulogy Records.
Holding On Broken Wings. Oh!
Ding, ding, ding. You got it.
You helped him with the moshcore part.
I did. I did. Well, it's, you know, I'm trying to make it. I want to get deep in this before you beat him, Tom.
I also don't think I needed help after Eulogy, but go on.
There you go. Tom.
Yes.
The first band is known for being on Positive Force Records, then Wishing Well, then Caroline, but are known for their association with a completely separate label. While the second started on AMREP and moved to Relapse, releasing notable material on both before continuing into other labels, including Southern Lord.
All right, so Wishing Well and Caroline. Oh, Jesus.
Positive Force, then Wishing Well, then Caroline. But are known more for being associated with a different label.
Youth of Today's a Day.
Ding, ding, ding. Good.
Fuck, you're good.
Would you have gotten that, Patrick?
No. Well, you know what? Honestly, I was starting to put it together maybe, but I don't know.
That was tough. I was like, Uniform Choice? No. But then Caroline and then another label. I was like, oh, Revelation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right.
This is stressful.
Patrick.
Yeah, really? Go on.
The Things We Carry into God Is Dead.
This is bands, not like albums or anything.
No,
like that,
bands.
Right?
These are albums or records by the band. So the Things We Carry.
Again?
The Things We Carry into God Is Dead.
So it's hard. What? I'm racking my brains for bands that start with the fucking heart.
Want a second clue?
Oh, I didn't know a second clue was available.
You got a second clue available. A band from Boston who's actually mostly from New Bedford is the first band.
And yeah, thank you.
You got it.
Thank you. Yes.
A New York City band who's mostly from Whitestone, Queens. They also appear on the New York Thrash Comp.
Oh, fuck.
Count down, Bob. I got it.
You got it?
Yep.
Come on. Think about it. So they're from New York.
5, 4.
From New York and heart?
Have Heart.
Have Heart. I don't know.
All right, Tom, hit him with it.
Have
Heart Attack. The Heart Attack single. Early New York City.
Nope, did not get it at all.
Okay. Jesse
Mayer.
Yeah. Yes, good job, Tom. All right, Tom, you get to go. You're up one now. You stole one, and you get to go again.
Oh, so, man. I'm going to open this lead up.
Canadians who woke the dead versus Pennsylvanians who never met the Gooch.
Come back, Kid Dynamite.
Boom.
Fuck.
All right. Oh, Patrick, this is a good one for you. Tom, Justin, and Rachel versus Buddha and White Trash Rob.
Oh, come on.
Okay, Most Precious Blood for Blood. There you go.
Ding, ding, ding. Good job.
Oh, come on.
Tom, yeah, the way it laid, you would have got that one. It could have. These are random.
I mean, but that was kind of a random gimme to either one of us. But
yeah, man, it's because I'm trying to make it easy. Someone who's listening might go, oh, I don't know. All right, Tom, this is you.
Yes.
Death Rattle into this Cleveland band named after a lip cream record.
Death Rattle.
You have a second hint if you need it.
I think I might get it.
Okay.
Is it King Nine Shocks Terror?
Boom, boom, boom. Good job.
Fuck.
Good job. All right, Patrick. Carl's post-terror band meets this Connecticut band that came before Killswitch Engage.
First Blood Has Been Shed.
Boom.
Oh.
That was right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. That one was a little too easy.
He's staying in there.
I'm still up by one, right?
You're still up by one. It's 4-3. All right. A California band known for lifting Descendants lyrics in their big song, and a Pittsburgh band who definitely lifts Bleeps and Blaps from 25 to Life.
The first one's getting. Is it Face to Face Rack?
Ding, ding, ding. Good job.
Wow.
I was going to go Game. I'm like, no, Game Face didn't steal anything from Descendants.
No. And I could have mentally, if I was being asked this question, I could have slipped and been like, Game Face Wreck, you know? So good job not. All right, Patrick.
This is nerve-wracking.
Current score, 5-3, Tom.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick. Richmond Intro and Wilkes-Barre Heavy Band. Richmond Intro.
I got it.
Oh no, hold on. And Wilkes-Barre Heavy Band?
Yep.
I think I got Richmond.
So say it to yourself and think, then go Wilkes-Barre. Yep.
Wilkes-Barre Heavy. Brace War Hungry.
Boom. Good job. Good job. I made these so they'd be more fun than hard. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
All right. Tom.
I got a fucking lip cream.
You did good with that one. But
yeah, you did.
The King Nine helped me. That's the thing.
Once you get one, you work from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting though? I would have gotten the lip cream reference and not. I don't think I would have done the King Nine. I think I would have.
The King Nine. The second was a harder. The second hint was Long Island / New York City band who may be scared to death, but not of this band. Who's merely paying homage, which is the two names of the one is the name of the second Nine Shocks LP and the other.
Damn,
my
God.
So it would have been hard if you didn't get it right off the top. All right.
You're really good at this. All right.
All right. You ready?
5-4. Yes.
We got a bunch here. Late 80s Californians who weren't too deep until now meet mid 90s New Jersey folks who were knee deep at Studio One.
Got it. Chain of Strength 691.
Boom. Wow.
Wow. I got Chain of Strength, did not get the second part. Wow.
You would not have gotten the second one, which was one had a Moondog song written about them, which Chain of Strength. There's a song about the guys from Chain of Strength looking in the mirror too much. okay. The other, yeah, Strength 691. Wait, no is it Strength? Pain. No, is it Strength 691? Yeah, has the infamous Rick to Life quote, which is curb jaw fat, Strength 691 fatter.
Wow,
good Rick to Life quote. All right, Patrick. Triple B tag team, the Richmond to Hudson Valley Connection. Let me know if you want the second hint.
I assume the Hudson Valley one is Mind Force.
Triple B.
Yeah,
Richmond.
Richmond. Oh, Division of Mind Force.
Bing, nice. Bing, bing. Good job. All right. Currently, the score is 6-5, Tom. He stole. Oh, you stole that have heart attack, and that's so far the difference. Oh, damn. All right. I'm going to do this. This is the way it falls.
No, Bob is messing with the questions.
I know. Tom.
No, you can stay close. This is bullshit. Yeah.
If Patrick was walking down the street with a Big Mac in San Francisco and saw these boys, it would be on.
I love this. This one's weird.
Oh, it's Break Downtown Boys.
Yep. Good job.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have gotten it. I would have gotten Breakdown and then been like, who do I have beef with in San Francisco? And then
I didn't realize they were San Francisco band, but I
and saw these boys. Come on, man. You gotta listen to the context clues.
Sorry, my bad.
All right.
Oh, you saw them. The reference was Street Fight, Patrick?
Yeah. All right. Jersey Shore's current heavyweights and the pre-Chain of Strength band who wrote the Shattered Dreams LP on Fart Blossom Enterprises.
What in the fuck are you talking about?
I got it.
You should know this. You should know this.
You should definitely know this.
Okay, hold on. Start again then.
Jersey Shore current heavyweights and the pre-Chain of Strength band who wrote the Shattered Dreams LP that came out on Fart Blossom Enterprises.
Okay. Jersey Shore heavyweights.
Current band.
Current. Oh, okay. Blind Justice League.
Good job. All right. The second hint was Jersey Shore band named after an AF song, an Inland Empire band named after the residents of the Hall of Justice. So
that one I would have gotten straight away.
Would have gotten. Yes. All right. Tom.
Yes.
This one starts with the lyrics that open the record, one of the biggest records for each of the bands here. The Metronome Was Wrong Again.
All right.
And I'll Reach Out My Hand and You'll Turn the Other Way.
Cave Inside Out.
Boom.
Holy
Very
fuck.
Good.
Holy fuck.
That was a tricky one.
The Metronome Was Wrong Again. Yeah, of course.
My mind blanked on... I blanked entirely on that. I you all confused me. Go on. That's
good. All right, Patrick, you might get lost in the dust here. Let's see. Baltimore's best New York hardcore band, okay, and a deep cut New York hardcore band featuring Carl the Mosher and Mackie.
Trapped Under Iceman.
Good job.
Is he getting easier questions?
He's not. I'm reading him down the list straight up.
I mean, you have gotten two ones that I would not have gotten. So yeah, I think somehow I'm getting easier questions.
Like, is right his in crayon? Like, what's going on?
No, I'm reading them straight down the list. I promise.
It's like 25 seconds to Google. This is not fair.
Tom, you're still winning.
I've seen that movie Game Show.
You're still winning. All right, you ready?
Goddamn right.
Constant Struggle is a mid-90s X-Men crossover event.
That's the question?
Yes. Constant, that's the hint. If you need the second hint, just let me know. Constant Struggle is a mid-90s X-Men crossover event.
So it's Iron Age. Can I get that second one? I'm not going to get it, but sure.
Texas Legends and HVHC Newcomers.
Iron Age of Apocalypse.
Boom! Oh, he got great the one job. That should have come to me.
I know. You should have got that one. That was really good, Tom. Really good. All right. Patrick.
You almost got Iron Age of Ultron. I was like, that's not right.
Oakland punk hardcore band that was on Prank Records meets the band who wrote the song Nerdy.
Talk is Poison the Well.
Ding, ding, ding. Good job.
Good job.
The second hint was one band did a split with one word death threat. The other did a promo split with the Deftones in 2003. All right. Tom?
Yeah, we don't talk about Talk is Poison. One of the few bands with that sound that I think is actually fucking awesome. But go on.
Exceptional good. And
you're trying to ice the kicker, Pat?
Sort of. Sorry.
All right.
Motherfucker. Let's have a conversation about Talk is Poison. I'm freaking out of here.
Yeah, I'm trying to knock you out of your fucking...
I'm warmed up.
All right. One is almost certainly the most important hardcore band of all time. The other has an upcoming release on Harm Reduction Records.
Minor Threat to Society.
Boom.
Fuck.
Good one.
Maybe I would have liked that one. Go on. But all right.
All right. The Basement side project band released by Lockin' Out and an Orange County hardcore band with members that went on to start Farside.
Holy fuck. Okay, hold on. I think I know the first one. What was the second one? What was the first one?
The Basement side project released by Lockin' Out and an Orange County hardcore band with members that went on to start Farside. I can give you the second hints if you like.
Yeah, please.
All right.
I don't.
First band currently in the studio recording their second LP.
Okay. Yeah.
Second band, Orange County band, released a 7-inch and an LP on Workshed Records featuring Kevin Murphy.
You don't need
to know the band. You just need to know the name.
Yeah.
We're going to start talking, counting you out.
I don't know.
Tom, you want to
steal? I don't know.
Yes, I'd like to. It's Fiddlehead First.
Fuck!
Yep. Good job, Tom. Thank you. Is now up 11-9.
Fuck!
With 1, 2, 3, 4 left. Okay?
Ooh, this is tough. All right. So 4 each?
No, 4 total. 4 total.
Oh, so I clinched it like the tie.
Well, because he can steal them from you. You know what I mean? If you can't catch it, he can steal it. So, but
sure. Although Bob, I'll say,
yeah.
In the interest of your labor,
yeah.
If he clinches it, shut it down so we can have even
round
if it's just
two?
Because this is a fun exercise. If you've got the brain to do it again,
yeah, I'll do it again. We'll do this fun. Again. This is us testing stuff out on Patreon for the big show. You know, so
yep.
All right, this one's a little hard. X Magnus and Frostbite form this Wilkes-Barre hardcore band and this heavier DC hardcore band that shares members with Battery.
Cold Worlds Collide.
Ah,
bam. Really good.
I was hoping he'd biff because I got it instantly.
Good. All right.
So then I won.
You have clinched the tie.
Fuck you. Sure, right?
It's 12-9. If Patrick gets this, you miss, and he gets that, and then he gets the other, it's a tie.
All right, so
it's a lot of ifs. All right, go on.
Let's get it. Hey, man, the pressure's on. Prove it. Show and prove it. Toronto Punk Juno Award winners.
Fuck, what? Okay.
Toronto Punk Juno Award winners and Connecticut Smorgasbord Straight Edge Band.
Fucked up front.
Boom. Good job.
Well done.
Tom, for the win.
Fuck you, Tom.
For the fucking win. Canadian punk band who didn't like to be wrong. The other had some sort of blood sickness.
Whoa.
What?
Canadian punk band who didn't like to be wrong. The other had some sort of blood sickness.
No means no warning.
Boom! For the fucking win.
And I can't even argue because that one was eloquent. That one was well done.
All right, then we only have one more. Congratulations, Tom. This is so you have a silver, not bronze medal, Patrick.
Okay.
Tommy Corrigan's biggest band and an Ohio hardcore band most known for being on Doghouse Records.
Okay, so I got the first one. What's that? Say the
Ohio hardcore band most known for being on Doghouse Records.
You've definitely seen their records in the Used Band.
Yes.
Yeah. Almost certainly.
Pre-transcend.
Pre-what?
Transcend. If that means anything to you.
No, I want to say I want to say like Silent Majority of One, but
yep,
I don't.
Boom, you got it. There you go.
Oh, nice. All right.
Respectable loss. Tom won with the steals, man.
I know. But also, I can't take anything away from him because he got ones that I would never get.
Those were really good. And here's the thing. He didn't miss any of the ones, and he had a couple hard ones.
Yeah.
No Means No Warning was his.
I wouldn't have gotten it.
Would have gotten Iron Age of Apocalypse.
Yep.
But I don't think you would have got Cave Inside Out.
No, that was
the secondary hint. The second mention was Hydra Head Legends versus Revelation Legends.
And it would have gotten me closer.
And then it's Stephen Brodsky into Victicara, but I was saving the third hint for the if nobody got it. So
Yeah.
All right. Name game. Okay. Fun, right?
Very fun.
Very fun. Very tough.
Now I'm going to, because we're doing this remotely and things often get fucked up, I'm going to cut this here so that nothing gets fucked up because we can't recreate that one.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.